At 0:45 a.m., a woman with a knife appeared in our dorm room, killing my roommate on the bunk below. The police investigated, but strangely, they declared there was no such person. It was like the killer was an invisible ghost, utterly untraceable. It was 0:45 a.m. I was still scrolling through videos in our dorm when I got a text from my roommate, Brianna. "Don't make a sound. There's a woman with a knife right outside our dorm room." I thought Brianna was just messing with me, so I didn't reply, intending to go back to my videos. But then, the next second, I heard the old wooden door creak open. A chill shot down my spine. I immediately turned off my phone, even muting it to avoid any noise. Then, I heard slow footsteps coming further into the dorm room. In the dead silence of the early morning, those footsteps echoed on the floor, sounding incredibly eerie. Tap, 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 every step made my heart pound. How could a woman get into the school? The campus gates had security, and R.A. Lopez was downstairs in the dorm building. How did she even get in? I clamped my mouth shut, terrified to make a sound, my breathing turning shallow and careful. I wondered what her purpose was in coming into our dorm, but before I could think of anything, the footsteps stopped. Through a tiny gap in my bed curtain, I could see her. She had stopped right in front of my bed, her head was bowed, looking at Brianna's bed. Her long hair hung over her face, and she wore a red dress. The gap in my curtain was too small, so I couldn't make out her features. She was holding a fruit knife. Suddenly, she looked up towards my bed. I quickly slammed my eyes shut, pretending to be asleep, terrified she'd see me. Several minutes passed with no movement. I forced myself to open my eyes again, peeking through the gap. The woman stood in front of Brianna's bed, staring for a long time, muttering something under her breath. Maybe it was just the profound quiet of the early morning, but I could barely make out a few words. "How? Not enough. Kill you." Just a few fragmented words. I had no idea what she was talking about, but I could tell she was here for Brianna. Yet Brianna usually got along well with everyone. I'd never heard anyone badmouth her or mention her having enemies. I didn't dare call the police. I was afraid the woman would hear me, and I certainly didn't have the courage to stop her. My heart was racing, hammering against my ribs. Then, I heard a sharp gasp from the bunk below. I watched as the woman with the knife started stabbing Brianna, over and over again. In just a few moments, the gasps died out. I heard the woman's footsteps as she left. Shaken to my core, I tried to compose myself. After 2 hours, once my emotions had somewhat settled, I called Professor Miller. Our advisor was terrified and rushed to the dorm, immediately calling Dean Harrison and R.A. Lopez. Professor Miller and Dean Harrison stared at the blood pooling on the floor from Brianna's bed. They didn't even dare pull back Brianna's bed curtain, calling the police directly instead. Police sirens wailed outside the campus gates soon after, and officers quickly arrived at our dorm. The sirens woke up a lot of students. Some, still in their pajamas, rushed out of their rooms, curious to see what was happening at our dorm. But Professor Miller quickly herded them back inside. Seeing Professor Miller and Dean Harrison arrive, I finally dared to get out of bed. My legs were shaking so badly I could barely stand. Professor Miller woke up our other two sleeping roommates, Lillian and Harper. I was still in shock, but they were barely awake. But when they heard Brianna was dead, they both sobered up instantly, horrified. The police pulled back Brianna's bed curtain. Everyone gasped at the sight. Before she died, Brianna looked like she'd seen something truly terrifying. Her eyes were wide open, staring forward, never closing. Her neck had several deep cuts, almost severed. Her entire bed was soaked in blood, which had already flowed onto the floor. Aside from the body, no murder weapon was found at the scene. Not even a single fingerprint of the killer was discovered. I turned away and dry-heaved a few times, forcing myself to look at Brianna despite the nausea. The police quickly removed Brianna's body and took the three of us from our dorm to the police station. The police questioned us separately. "Here's what we each said, police. Were you the one who called your advisor to report Brianna's death?" I nodded, then told the police everything I knew about that night. "Police, why didn't you call the police or your advisor immediately after the killer left?" "Me, I was just so scared. I was afraid the killer might still be outside, and I was too terrified to even know how to explain it to Professor Miller." The officer looked into my eyes with an expression I couldn't quite describe. "Police, we checked the surveillance cameras. No woman entered your dorm room." That statement sent chills down my spine. It meant the killer was one of us, already inside our dorm. "Me, are you saying the killer was inside our dorm?" The officer looked at me with suspicion, as if I was the killer. "Me, no. Officer, why are you looking at me like that? You don't think I'm the killer, do you?" "Police, according to your description, if this woman truly existed, there's a strong possibility she was already inside your dorm room." "Me, but it couldn't be me, right? If it were me, why would I call our advisor? Wouldn't that be walking straight into a trap?" "Police, it's not unheard of for the killer to try and play the victim." "Me, Brianna was the one who texted me about that woman. And I don't know if she only sent it to me, because Lillian and Harper were both asleep. You can ask them if they got the text too, right? Besides, that woman had long hair, almost down to her waist. Look at me, I have short, dyed hair." I showed the officer my phone, and he confirmed that the text message had indeed come from Brianna. I still couldn't understand why the killer targeted Brianna, yet Brianna still texted us to warn us. What truly scared me was the officer saying the killer was in our dorm. The officer then asked about Brianna's usual behavior at school. I told him everything I knew honestly. Meanwhile, in another interrogation room, the police were questioning Lillian. Lillian was typically very timid, sitting there without daring to look up, answering only when asked. "Police, while you were asleep, did you hear anything?" Lillian shook her head. "Lillian, I usually sleep very soundly, it's hard to wake me up. But I did hear some noise, like someone rummaging through things. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe they were getting up to use the restroom, so I just went back to sleep." "Police, and then?" Lillian shook her head again, adjusted her glasses, and looked timidly at the questioning officer. Harper, on the other hand, was yawning, looking utterly impatient in her interrogation room. She sat cross-legged, leaning back casually in her chair. "Police, sit up straight." The officer barked, and Harper finally sat properly. Harper was always very blunt and carefree. "Police, what were you doing on the night of the incident?" "Harper, I was definitely sleeping, duh." "Police, did you hear anything while you were asleep?" Harper hesitated, then shook her head. "Harper, not really, I guess. I was so tired that night, and when I'm out, I'm out. I don't know anything." The officer looked at Harper with a questioning gaze, making making Harper visibly uncomfortable. Harper, what are you looking at me for? Brienne is dead. Aren't you supposed to find the killer? Why are you dragging us here in the middle of the night for questioning? Are you suggesting someone in our dorm killed Brienne? The officer slapped the table hard, startling Harper into silence. Police, we currently suspect the killer was in your dorm room. Harper's eyes widened at that statement, and she didn't say another word. Both Lillian and Harper confirmed that they had also received the text message from Brienne. The police kept us for a long interrogation, not letting us go until morning. When we got back, I was exhausted from not sleeping all night, but the thought of someone dying in the bunk below kept me awake. Plus, the dorm was sealed off by the police, so we couldn't go in. We had to find Professor Miller. It wasn't until past 8 a.m. that Professor Miller arranged a new dorm for us. He also demanded we keep everything confidential and even promised us guaranteed admission to a prestigious graduate program. It turned out Dean Harrison had immediately suppressed the incident. All posts about it on campus forums were deleted by administrators, but it didn't stop the whispers among students. Everyone talked about it privately, knowing that if Professor Miller or the school leadership heard them discussing it, they would be disciplined. Hearing about the guaranteed grad school admission, and then recalling the police saying the killer might be in our dorm, I couldn't help but feel a prick of fear. I had previously read news about people killing roommates for a guaranteed grad school spot, and our school had been fiercely competing for those spots recently. I looked at Lillian. She was lying on her newly assigned bed, her bed curtain tightly drawn. I wondered what she was doing in there. Harper was already fast asleep. I was too tired to think much more, so I lay down and drifted off. When I woke up, it was already past 5 p.m. I sat up, feeling hungry, and decided to go to the dining hall. When I brought food back from the dining hall, Lillian and Harper were already awake. Lillian was reading, while Harper was casually scrolling through videos on her phone. I ate my food, my mind wondering why these two could be so calm. If the killer was one of us three, would it be Lillian or Harper? I looked at Harper, then at Lillian, and suddenly something clicked. Me, Lillian, weren't you planning on applying to grad school recently? Lillian looked up at me when I spoke. For some reason, I saw a flicker of panic in her eyes. Lillian, yeah, but my mom wouldn't let me. She said it was enough that she put me through college and told me to get a job after graduation. Harper, well, you don't have to worry anymore, do you? Brienne just did you a huge favor. Harper said it, her tone so casual, it made me angry. That guaranteed grad school slot came at the cost of Brienne's life, and she was making jokes about it as if nothing had happened. I knew Lillian's family didn't want her to pursue grad school, so she was incredibly driven to get that guaranteed spot. That's why I suspected she might have had a twisted motive, especially since she and Brienne weren't usually on good terms. But Harper's tone made me wonder if they were in on it together. Yet Harper and Brienne usually had an okay relationship, like fake friends, otherwise Harper wouldn't joke like that. The thought of living in the same dorm as them filled me with dread, but the holidays were approaching, so I just had to endure it. At 9 p.m., we got a call from Professor Miller. The police had found us again and taken us to the interrogation room. Me, didn't you already question us? I asked the officer in the car. Police, we've made some new discoveries. We need to talk to you about some new developments. Harper looked impatient. Harper, can't you just ask us in the dorm? Are you going to keep us until morning again? Police, this is a matter of life and death. Please cooperate with the investigation.